Hear the word of the Lord. First, as it's written in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, this is an interchange between the Lord and his disciples very soon after he had fed the 5,000 by the sea. And straightway the Lord constrained his disciples to enter into the ship and to go before to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent away the crowd. And when he had ordered them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone was in the land. And he saw them toiling at rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it to be a phantom, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And straightway he spoke to them and says to them, "Have confidence, it is I, do not be afraid." And he went up to them into the ship, and the wind quieted, and they were exceedingly amazed in themselves and marveled, for they understood not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Amen. Further from the heavenly doctrines of the new church, from the work Apocalypse Explained, from the passage 514. Concerning the Lord's walking on the water to the boat in which the disciples were, the particulars mean divine things, which nevertheless do not appear in the letter, as the sea and the Lord's walking on it, his entering the ship. The sea means the ultimate of heaven and of the church, since there are seas in the outermost borders of the heavens. The Lord's walking on the sea means the Lord's presence and his influx and consequent life, even to those that are in the most extreme limits of heaven. This was done in the fourth watch to mean the first state of the church, when it's daybreak and the morning is at hand, for then good begins to act through truth, and the Lord comes. That the sea in the meanwhile was moved by the wind and that the Lord restrained it means the natural state of life that precedes, which is all unpeaceful and as it were a tempestuous state. But with the state that is nearest to the morning, which is the first state of the church with a person, because the Lord is then present in the good of love, there then comes tranquility of mind. Amen. Now shall we say together? You probably all know the story about how when the Lord was on earth, he began his public ministry by calling people to follow him, to be his disciples. And that had actually happened just a few months before this story in the Word. And as the Lord was teaching people and starting to heal them, he ran into resistance. People didn't like that, or some didn't. And so the Lord had taken his disciples and gone over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a fairly deserted area. There weren't a lot of people living there. But he continued to teach and to heal. And so many people came that one day he wound up with 5,000 people there. And he taught them during the day. And then when it came time for their meal, the Lord saw they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but he made that feed everyone. And it's at that point the story begins, about the Lord telling the disciples to get into the boat to head back to Bethsaida on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they started to do that while the Lord went up into a mountain. And he prayed up there. Now it's interesting, as they were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, which by the way is not a huge body of water, but violent storms could suddenly come up. There were mountains right along it. So the wind could swirl down and create a very dangerous situation. While they were rowing across in the middle of the night, a storm came up. And for them, a storm wouldn't have been a problem. It would have scared them half to death. Now, most of you probably know how to swim, don't you? Because it's something that people learn today. They didn't in those days. So if any of them went into the water, they were going to drown. They were going to die. And with the waves coming this way and that, and they were just rowing, The risk was high, so he must have been scared to death. It was then that the Lord, who'd been watching it, he came by walking on the water. And it says, as if he would have walked by them. But they called out to him, and he came. And you remember what he said to him? It was so interesting. He said, "Have confidence," or "be of good cheer, for it is I. Do not be afraid." And with that, he got into the boat, and the storm, the wind, calmed down. And then they were able to proceed to the other side. Now, what's amazing about this story is that it's really a description about not just what happened to the Lord and his disciples, but what happens in all of our lives. When the disciples were first following the Lord, that's like when we're first learning what is true from the Word and trying to do what's right. And so when the Lord took them and fed the 5,000 after he taught them, that's like everything you've learned from your parents or at school. All the truths of how to be a good person, about who the Lord is, how he cares for you, about life going on forever, about what marriage is. All of those wonderful truths are the way the Lord feeds all of us. And so with that as a basis, then the Lord says, "Now I want you to go back to Bethsaida. I want you to cross the water." And that's kind of like our journey of life, our everyday life, where we're busy, aren't we? We're doing schoolwork. We're playing with our friends, maybe watching some TV, maybe helping out around the home. But life gets filled up. And you know, when we're doing that, where's the Lord? It kind of looks like he's off on a mountain, because he's not talking to you every moment, is he? No. So it can seem like he's not really there. But one of the things that happens as we're on that journey in that boat rowing is that a storm can come up. That's what happened to the disciples. One of the storms that we encounter, well, there are lots of things that could be storms. One might be if you start to have what's called a doubt or a questioning. Maybe you see something really bad happen that you know is wrong. People get hurt. Say an earthquake occurs and you see people just crying because they've lost someone they care about. And you know, that's not good. The Lord doesn't really want that to happen, but why would he let it happen? So you might sort of wonder, well, where is the Lord there? And question a bit. And that kind of doubt can make you unsettled. It's like the wind's coming up and you're rowing against them and you don't know what to do. And you're confused. Another kind of storm could be if you're with your friends and they're not treating you very well. Maybe talking behind your back, saying unpleasant things. Maybe it being outright cruel to you. And you want to get even. You want to hit back at them. But you know you shouldn't. So you're kind of torn. What do? How do I handle that? And you're in that real difficult situation. That's a storm. That's a tempest. The writings call it a temptation. And it's in those times that, where's the Lord? He seems absent. And yet we know from the story, the Lord was watching over them. He saw exactly what's going on. We have a wonderful teaching in the new church that when we are in those stormy, tempestuous states of temptation, the Lord is closer to us then than at any other time. So the times when he seems so distant that we don't know what he wants us to do or to say, he's closer than at any other time. We're not conscious of it, but it says he's holding our feelings and our thoughts and gently leading us at that time. And so then the Lord walks on the water, and it's as if he would have passed them by. Well, they obviously saw him to know that he might have passed them by. And why is that? Well, when we're in those storms, we're so caught up in our own anxiety, our own problems, our own, how do I do this, and what's going to happen, and you're so worried, well, it's easy to miss the Lord. He could be right there, and it's so easy not to be aware of it. Fortunately, they cried out to him. So how do we cry out to the Lord? There are lots of ways. One way is simply by stopping and praying to him. Getting out of the problem, stepping aside and literally bowing down to get into a different posture you're not normally in. And to look up to the Lord and talk to him and just try to feel his presence. That's one way. Another might be picking up a copy of the Word. It doesn't matter how easy you find it to read. Go to the Psalms and just read a verse or two and just start to feel the Lord there. And that's a calling out to the Lord. And that can really change things. And so the Lord then, when they called out to him, what did he say? It's a really curious thing that he said. He said, have confidence, be of good cheer. Well, here they are, struggling, maybe going under, nearly dying. And he says, be of good cheer. Why didn't he say something like, don't worry, I'll take care of it? He didn't say anything like that. He said, be of good cheer. It sounds almost crazy. But that's what happens to us when we're caught up in these storms. We are so worried that we're not happy anymore. We're not seeing or feeling the Lord's presence. And so that's why he said that. He wanted them to have a confidence that they didn't have to fix it. The Lord's in charge. They're not. And it's only when there's a recognition of that on our parts that he can really get into our boat. Now, it's interesting. They said it was like he was a phantom. And that really means he's sort of ghost-like or sort of faintly there. And at that time, our sense of the Lord or our understanding of him is fairly faint, fairly phantom-like. But that's okay. That's all we need at that point. And the storm suddenly calms. Now, how can that be? Well, here's one example. Have you ever gone to the seashore and taken a hand of sand and then start to count how many grains of sand there were? Have you ever tried to do that? Well, you get tired of it really quick because there's so many in there. And a little grain of sand is a tiny little thing, right? Here's a teaching from the writings of the New Church. It says, a doubt, which is one of the kinds of storms, a doubt is like a grain of sand that in itself is not much of anything at all, but you bring it right close to your eye and you blind yourself. The Lord getting into the boat is us realizing what we were worried about before, that wasn't such an important thing. And yes, we can do what's right with the Lord's presence. That's how the storm went away. Now, it's interesting, at that point, did the Lord suddenly transport them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? No. They still had to row all the way across. So even though the Lord was present with them, took care of the storm, they still had to continue on in their life. That's a message for us, too. There are storms in our life where we seem so alone that the Lord's not there at all, where it seems that we're sort of helpless and we're drowning, as it were. And yet, the Lord is there, present with us, caring, taking care of more than we could ever imagine. All we need to do is call out to him, and he will then walk to us across the water, something that seems miraculous or impossible. And if we'll call out to him, he will get into our boats and take away the storm so that we can continue on our journey of life, doing what we should, learning more about the Lord, doing what's right, being useful to others, and that he continually guides us throughout. So this is stories, a wonderful story of hope, of looking forward to what the Lord does for us and cares for us, even in the difficult times. So let us rejoice and be glad.